Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 is a packed chapter. There is a lot of content. There's a lot of helpful insights in the book of Proverbs, and especially in Proverbs chapter 28. I had a hard time kind of focusing in on some verses, but I want us to just give attention to one in the time that we have here tonight. We won't focus on this, but there's a lot in Proverbs chapter 28. If you want to read and understand God's attitude and perspective on and responsibility that he expects wise people to have towards the poor, then read Proverbs 28. There's a lot in Proverbs chapter 28 about our responsibility to the poor and the expectation that God has for us in the poor, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. Tonight, we're going to look at one verse. Look at verse number one. It says this: "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time here together in his word tonight. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, we ask that you would, Lord, allow the Word of God to live in our hearts, Lord, that it would, Lord, change our lives, that it would change our thinking and our perspective. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us from this passage, Lord, to learn the importance and the necessity, and Lord, even just the benefit of us being bold for you, and Lord, for us to be bold on the inside and on the outside. So Lord, I pray that you would arrest our attention tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to focus in on your word, and Lord, that it would bring a conviction. Lord, eliminate distractions, God, so that we can give you the attention and your word the attention that it deserves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of God's word. Title of our message tonight, as you see up there now, boldness. Boldness on the inside and on the outside. A lot of types of people in this world. There are nice people, and there are mean people. There are happy people, and there are grumpy people. There are people that like Ford over Chevy. There are those who like Apple products over Android products. There are those who like cats, and there are normal people that like dogs more than cats. There are all kinds of people that are out there. There are those that love coffee and those that hate coffee. There are those who like to exercise and those who don't. There are those who like to run. Anybody, any runners in here? Got a couple in here. Saw this sign: if you see me running, you better run because somebody's after me. I love that. I like it. There's a lot of reasons why people run too. People run because they like the camaraderie of running with other people. And some people like to run for exercise. Some people just like the getting out there in nature and just spending some time outside, which is good. Some people like it for the competition of it, and even maybe not against other people, but against themselves, just to run. Sometimes you think of different motives why people run, and you think, man, that's good. Good reasons for health, for exercise, camaraderie, whatever it may be. A dog's after you in Henrietta, that's a reality because there's dogs running around everywhere. There's some wild, crazy man that's coming after you running. Here in this passage, we have two people that are pointed out to us, two different types of people, the righteous and the wicked. We have the timid, the one that flees, the one that takes off and runs when something scares it or spooks it. It's timid. It runs away. And the bold. When I think of something timid, I think of a mouse or even something like a cockroach. You're in somewhere and there's cockroaches. You turn the light on and you don't even have to do anything but turn a light on. And what do? They scurry. They run. They get out of here. They're timid. They're scared. Why? Because everything is after them. Things are after them. They're timid. And listen, the timid spirit comes from somebody who's fearful, who's afraid. Also talks about a bold person, somebody who is strong. Not necessarily that they're not afraid, but they stand firm in the face of fear and of danger. And it points out these two characteristics are synonymous with the wicked and the righteous. So look at our passage again. It says this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The wicked, the criminal, the guilty one, the one that has caused some offense, they're guilty. They are hostile towards God. They're an enemy of God. They're an enemy of everything that is good and righteous. They're guilty. The wicked person is that person that is contrary to morality and decency and godliness. That's the wicked person. The adulterer is a wicked person. The liar is a wicked person. The thief is a wicked person. But listen, it doesn't have to be to that extent or that extreme. It can be something as simple as indifference towards the things of God. Or just like, yeah, I don't care. The apathetic. That talks about wickedness, things that are against God. Even something like a time stealer. You say, well, what is that? Well, that's the person that punches in on their time clock that they're working for 8 hours, but really they take about 4 hours or 3 hours or 2 hours and just kind of do their own thing. They're stealing from their company. That's wickedness. That's ungodliness. That's the characteristic of this person that we see in Proverbs chapter number 28, the wicked. One person said this, that this word encompasses and extends to everything that is contrary to decency, morality, and biblical truth. Anything. If I just decide, hey, I'm just going to lay this aside and not even pay attention to it, or I'm just going to lay this aside and kind of take what I want and leave the rest, then he says that's wicked. That's what that word encompasses. It's everything that's against God, everything that's opposite of God. Here's the reality. A person can be very outwardly wicked and embrace all of those attributes or activities that we mentioned, and even some that we didn't, that are synonymous with wickedness. But a person can be outward wicked and inwardly wicked, but sometimes a person can be outwardly okay, but inwardly they're wicked. See, there's an external wickedness and there's an internal wickedness. But the reality is also this. Look here in our passage. It also contrasts the wicked and the righteous. The righteous, the ones that do justly, the ones that obey God's law, the ones that apply the truths of God's word. Webster's 1828 defines this righteous person as this. It denotes one who is holy in heart and observant to the divine commands and practices. That they read the Word of God and they allow the Word of God to penetrate their hearts and their lives, and they listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit when He speaks, and they honor the things of God and they reverence the things of God, and they try to live their life according to God's Word and according to God's principles. He says that is a righteous person. And again, there is, just like in wickedness, there is an internal righteousness and an external righteousness. The external righteousness really has to do with this. Follow along. It has to do with the things that we do. The things that we do or the things that we don't do. It has to do with our outward conduct. That's an external righteousness. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't do drugs. I'm not an adulterer. Those types of things. Those are the external righteousness. The things that we do. The internal righteousness is not just so much what we do. It's who we are. It's who we are. And just like this, the external righteousness has a lot to do with our external life. It affects our external life. It affects our circumstances of life. Here's the reality. Somebody, get this, follow along with me here. Somebody who is internally wicked, but yet follows the external merits of righteousness, the external things of righteousness, what we do, listen, their life and their circumstances will still be better in this life. Because if you follow God's word is right. God's word is wisdom. And it doesn't matter whether you truly believe it or not. Your outward circumstances will be better. But here's the reality. Those external righteousness, those things like listening to the Ten Commandments, following God's. Listen, a person that doesn't believe in God can follow the laws and the ordinances of God and their life would be better for it. It would. Here's the reality, though. Those external righteousness just deal with the external things. They don't affect the internal. Here's the reality. They're not going to make anybody internally righteous by doing the external righteous. You get what I'm saying? Just because somebody follows all the laws and ordinances and tries to follow these things, but if they don't have a heart that is right with God, then those external things will do nothing to fix the internal. Because here's what the Bible says. Inside of us, there is no internal righteousness. Inside us, it's not righteousness, it's unrighteousness. And that the Bible says this, there's none that doeth good. In the book of Romans, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. All are gone astray. And everybody's turned after their own ways. That's our heart. That's our nature. We don't have an internal righteousness. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed unto us or credited to our account, because we don't have any internal righteousness. We need His righteousness to be our righteousness. So you say, well, what is this saying? What is this talking about? Because I believe this passage is about us doing this, about us understanding and knowing God and being bold for it. Listen, I'm going to be completely and totally honest with you. You're like, good, it's probably right for the preacher to be. No, I want you to lie to me, right? No, I want to be honest. I don't know why preachers say that. We say that. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you right now. Like I've been lying all the way up to this point, but now I'm going to tell the truth. Here's I want to be transparent with you. That probably is the right word, to be transparent. Sometimes it's hard to be bold for God. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for me at times to want to stand and take a stance for righteousness and for godliness. Why? Because there's a fear of man that's what's inside of you. There's a fear of man that's inside of us that wants to keep us from offending people, or that wants to be liked by people. Here's what he says. There's a difference between those that are bold for God and bold in their faith and bold in their beliefs. And there are those who are very timid, who run, who hide, who don't take a stand, who can't stand, who don't only, or not only fail to take a stand, but they run, they flee. Here's what we find in this passage. Those who are guilty, or those who are unrighteous, those who are wicked, they run when no one's chasing them. Look what it says. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Now listen, there's a lot of reasons to run. But if you're sitting out there running and you're like, why are you running? I don't know. There's somebody chasing me. And you look back there and there's nobody back there. What are you running from? There's a dog chasing me. No, there's nothing back there. He says this, the wicked flee, they're timid, they run when nothing's after them, when nothing is pursuing them. The old preacher Ironside, he said this, none are so cowardly as those who are carrying about a guilty conscience. There's none so cowardly as those who are carrying about a guilty conscience. It means this, that the guilty conscience from the sins that we've committed or the sins that we've tried to cover, he says this, will always be on your heels. The guilt, the fear. Sin makes you do dumb things. It does. There's nothing more foolish than running from something that's not there. Like, what are you running from? There's something. No, there's nothing there. It's foolish. He's saying the wicked flee when no man pursueth. I read this story in study about a guy by the name of James Blankenship. He was attempting to break into his own mom's house to steal some things in the daytime, broad daylight. And he sees a car and he thinks the car is his mom's. It wasn't. So he runs and hides under the house. Well, somebody else sees him and thinks that guy's up to no good, because he's running and hiding. He's like, if he just would have just kind of kept walking, but they just saw him dart and run because he was thought it was somebody else. And he goes and hides under the house, and the police come and call the mom, all this stuff, arrest the guy. And literally, here's what he thought. Well, you can't arrest me for burglary. And they said, why? And they were expecting him to say, well, because this is my mom's house. And they said, no, because it's the daytime. He said, no, you can't arrest me for burglary if I'm breaking into somebody's house in the daytime. It's not burglary if it's not at night. Listen, the guy was foolish. But here's the reality. Sin makes you do dumb things. Sin makes you do dumb things. And if he wouldn't have run, he wouldn't have gotten caught. But listen, there's all kinds of other foolish things that sin makes you do. Listen, sin turns your life into a lifestyle that is constantly running from one thing to the next. That it's running to avoid oftentimes the difficulty or the frustration that we have if we just would rather follow God and trust God. Flee. Look what it says. The wicked flee to escape, to take flight like a bird that's been startled or an animal that's running from its prey. It says this, the wicked will flee like that when no one pursues. A wicked lifestyle and a wicked heart or sin that we're trying to hide, it will do this. It will produce a timid spirit. It's this way. It's always looking over the shoulder, thinking someone's after them. It's always looking over our shoulder, thinking the sins that we've done our best to hide and conceal so that nobody can find out. We're always thinking, when's that going to be revealed? When's that coming up? It produces a timid spirit. It makes a person think that everyone's out to get them. It produces a fear that their sin is going to be found out, that they're going to get caught in their sin. It produces this closed off secret life. Listen, people that are wicked, that are trying to hide and cover their sins, they find it hard to make connections and relationships with people. Why? Because they're afraid their real self will show. They're afraid that their real lifestyle, their real sins will be brought to the surface. And what are they doing? They're running. No one's chasing them. No one's after them, but they're running. They feel that people are always trying to trap them or to get them. How many of you have been there? You're driving down the highway and you see a police officer coming. And natural response is either to look down at your speedometer or pour your foot off the gas automatically. Well, how fast am I going? Why? Because that's my response. You know why that's my response? Because I have been known on maybe one or two occasions to speed. So when I see that police officer, I have to stop and check, am I speeding or am I not? Here's the reality. If I made it a purpose, I am never going to break the speed limit. Then when I saw that police officer, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I'd never be fearful about it. Why? Because I don't do that. I never do that. But because I've had a tendency to do that in the past, then it produces a fear. It produces a, whoa, and listen, that guy may not even be after me. And the other thing, that may not even be a police car. Somebody may have bought that and it's just some other car now. But what is it doing? I have an internal fear. It's like I'm fleeing from something that's not even after me. That's not even trying to get me. It produces that worry and that fear. That's what sin will do to you. That's what a lifestyle of wickedness will do. It says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Here's what we also find, that produces a life where we will not prosper, or we will not be able to live to the blessings and the benefits that God would have us to live to, because we're always on the run, afraid that our sin is going to catch up with us. Well, what do? I love this proverb, because this is another one that I thought about looking at, but we just for the sake of time, we won't. Stay in Proverbs chapter 28. Where is it at? I lost it. Oh, verse number 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See, that the reality is this: the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But if you say, well, what do I do? Well, confess it. Bring it up. Deal with it. Don't hide it. Don't run from it. Deal with it. Because here's what's going to happen. You try to cover your sin, then you're not going to prosper. All you're going to do is be running from that your whole life. Just trying to sweep it under the rug and act like it's not there is not going to fix anything. It has to be dealt with. See, God has a way. God is passionate. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says this, that God has predetermined that you be conformed to the image of Christ. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ. And sometimes there are sins at our heels that we're not dealing with, that we're running from. And God says that's keeping you from being conformed to the image of Christ. And God is so passionate about it that at times, even we're doing our best efforts to hide it and to cover it, God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring that to the surface. I'm going to let it be seen so that, not so that you can be embarrassed, not so that you can be shamed, but so that your sin can be dealt with, so that it can be dealt with, so that you can confess it and forsake it, because he says, then you are available for the mercy of God. But if you're constantly trying to hide it or cover it up, he says, you're going to live your life running from something and people that aren't even chasing you. It's foolishness. He goes on to say this, those who live right have a lion-like confidence, even in the face of danger. Look at what it says. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. They're confident, not in a brash or in an arrogant way. I think we understand, like, there are some that are bold, but are an arrogant bold that's distasteful. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying a strong confidence, a firmness that says this, I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to fear. I don't have to run from anybody. Why? Because I'm right with God. The only one that I need to fear is God, and I'm in a good relationship with him. So I have no reason to run. I don't need to run from the police that's chasing the bad guy because I didn't do anything wrong. I don't need to run from those who are trying to expose sin because I've made everything right with God. And if there is a problem, then guess what? I want to know about it because I want to deal with it so that I can take care of it. He says, I don't have anything to fear. I don't have anything to worry about. I can be bold. I can stand bold in the face of accusation. I can stand bold in the face of opposition. I can stand bold in the face of persecution and rejection. Why? Because my life is an open book. I'm not trying to hide things and to cover things. My life is firm and founded in Christ and in Christ alone. I don't have to worry about it. It's bold. They're not timid looking over their shoulder. They're bold like a lion. Like a lion. I think of Moses before Pharaoh. He says, God says, let my people go. Listen, Pharaoh could have at any moment taken his life, humanly speaking, but Moses was bold before God. Think of Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua stood for God when all of their other Israelite brethren were down in the valley worshiping an idol that was made by Aaron. Listen, they stood bold. They stood strong because they stood for right. And it gave them a boldness. It gave them a courage. Elijah stood bold in the face of wicked King Ahab and called him out. When Ahab said, what are you doing bothering the land? And Ahab says, no, Elijah says, no, it's not me. You're the one, king, that's troubling the nation of Israel. You're the one that's causing problems. We just came through the book of Daniel in our Bible study on Sunday morning. The three Hebrew children that stood firm. They stood boldly in the face of a fiery furnace and said, listen, we're not going to bow to your God. We're not going to bow to this idol. We're standing for God and for righteousness. And you can put the fire, you can make the fire as hot as you can. Listen, we know that our God is able to deliver. But if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow. Why? They were bold. Why? Because they had faith in God. They were bold. Why? Because they were righteous. They determined this, we're going to do right. Don't care what happens, we're going to do right. See, listen up here. This is important. Listen, a lot of people that sit in churches, even today, have failed to come to even that simple conclusion of this, I'm going to do right. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do right. If it's right, that's my first criteria of whether I'm going to do it or not. If it's right, okay. If it's wrong, no, we don't even talk about it. We don't have to deal with it. We don't even have to think about it. We don't even have to wonder how we're going to do it and not get caught. No, if it's right, we're going to do it. If it's wrong, we're not going to consider it. There's a lot of people still struggling with that even today. Years ago, there were five men, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, and Peter Fleming, and Roger Yadorian. They were missionaries down in Ecuador. And God had called them to reach the Aka Indians down there in Ecuador. And this group, this tribe, was known for their violence. They were known for their violence and their isolation. To their knowledge, that no Western people or white people have ever made contact with this tribe, and they said, "Hey, we want to go down there and tell these people about the gospel." So they came up with a huge, elaborate plan. If you're interested, you can go read books by Elizabeth Elliot that she tells the story and lays out the chronicles of what they did and how they did it. Nate Saney had this plane that he would fly around. And so they decided what we're going to do is we're going to try to drop some things down in a bucket, and we're going to fly in circles around them, and we're going to drop it down to their village so that we can show, hey, so they would drop this bucket out and they'd fly this plane in circles around the village until that bucket was just like this, spinning. And so the people would run out there, they'd grab it, they'd get them all kinds of different trinkets and toys and food so that they could show, hey, we're friendly. We're friendly. We care about you. Well, unbeknownst to these five men, there was a whole other set of turmoil that was going on inside that tribe. And unfortunately, there were some people in the tribe that are going to use them and that plan to use them to try to deflect some pressure off of themselves. So long story short, it's an interesting story. Betsy, remind me of the name of the book. Through Gates of Splendor. Great book if you ever want to read it. It tells the whole chronicle and the story about them. So these five men, they landed on a sandbar. Small sandbar that was out in front of the river. And their whole intent, their whole desire was to give them the gospel. And they had done this several times. And about three or four times they had landed there, talked to the people. Well, again, unbeknownst to them is there was a whole other group of issues going on. And two of the young tribes members went and told the rest of the tribe that these white people came in their big metal bird and they tried to kill us and tried to attack us, which was totally false and a lie. So they came and landed back down another time, and they were met with the whole tribe with spears and speared all five of them to death. Listen, here's the reality. Those men knew that this tribe was a dangerous tribe. These men knew that they were putting their life in danger by going there. They knew that they could do their best to try to be kind and to try to be helpful, but they never knew what these people were going to do. But they did it anyways. They did it. They were bold as lions. They didn't run away from the danger. They didn't run away from the fear. Why? Because they knew these people needed to hear the gospel. Long story short, because of that, many of the wives of those men that were killed stayed and went back to those tribes to witness to those people. Several of the men, even some of the very men that killed their husbands, were saved and came to Christ because of that. Listen, they were bold as a lion. They were strong. Why? Because they were righteous. Because they were on the side of right. They were on the side of godliness. There's another group of people, another man by the name of John Huss. John Huss was a Catholic priest in the Czech Republic. This was years and years and years ago in the 15th century, if I remember right. In the 15th century, 14, maybe 1500s, I can't remember the exact date. But he was a Catholic priest. He began to read his Bible. And in reading his Bible, he learned things like the sacraments. Those things are Lord's Supper, baptism. Those are not what makes us right with God. That is through Jesus Christ. And he began to read his Bible and began to see that what the Catholic Church was teaching was not correct according to the Bible, to the Word of God. And so he began to preach in his church the biblical gospel. Well, the bishops and those people, cardinals, they began to get upset, and they said, well, we're going to kick you out of the church. So they kicked him out of the church, and they said, well, we want you to come back and we want you to give explanation for your beliefs. And they said, you'll be safe. We're not going to bother you. Well, their whole ploy was to take him and capture him when he came. So he came, and in his mind, he was going to explain his belief from the Word of God. But these Catholic leaders had the plan. No, we're just going to capture him and arrest him. Long story short, they arrested him and found him guilty in their eyes of treason and burned him at the stake. Burned him at the stake. And they said, if you'll confess, if you'll just forget all of this doctrine, then we'll let you go. Then we'll just beat you and send you away. And he says, nope, I can't do it. I can't compromise on truth. And he was bold all the way to leading himself to, as they led him to the pile to burn him at the stake. Why? Because he was bold as a lion because of his righteousness. They were bold because of their right standing with God. They weren't afraid. See, here's the reality. They were bold to take a stand when it meant their death. But they were bold on the outside because they had boldness on the inside. See, they were bold, but they were bold on the inside and out. Because they had a right standing with God. They had a right relationship with God. They knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they decided this, we're going to live for God. We're going to do what's right. We're going to make our decision right now that we're going to be righteous on the inside through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But we're also going to live out that righteousness from day to day. We're going to live out that righteousness. We're going to do what's right regardless of what happens. We're going to do what's right regardless of the ridicule. We're going to do what's right regardless of the danger or the fear that's going to come upon us. We're going to do what's right regardless of the inconvenience. And because they made that decision and because they were righteous, here's the reality. They were bold. Go back to our proverb. It says this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. It doesn't even take somebody pursuing after them and they're gone. There's no loyalty. There's no commitment. Hey, all I'm doing is caring about myself. And if there's a danger, I'm out of here. I'm fleeing. If there's even just the hint of danger, I'm out of here. But here's what the righteous do. It doesn't matter what danger is coming after me. I'm going to stand for right. It doesn't matter what's around me. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live for God despite the problems. See, being right with God and living right before men produces a bold, confident life. That's what it does. Being right with God and living right before men, listen, you know what it does? It produces a boldness, a confidence. Listen, I don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to cause me to go astray. Why? Because I want to live right before God and I want to live right before men, and it produces a boldness. Listen, what we need in this life and in this world is more people that will be bold for the cause of Christ. Listen, I'm not talking about somebody that's being arrogant or pride-filled or obnoxious. That's not what he's talking about. Somebody says this, you can count on that person to do right. Listen, there are people that you may know that you say, you know what, I don't know if I can trust them because they're not dependable. You can't trust them to be there when you need them. You can't trust them to do what's right in the time of trouble and in circumstance. But there's other people that are this, listen, you can trust them. They're bold. You can trust them to do what's right, even when there's things against them, even when there's temptations around them, even when there's problems that seem to be working against them. You can count on them to do what's right. Why? Because the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion.